Attention, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucciola ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Try Brower. The former blockup has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Brian is about to head on vacation, so that new open won't be happening in the next 24 hours. Where are you headed, young man?
Kailua and back to Oahu.
How about that?
So
how
we
about
leave that, Thursday morning.
I go to Branson, he's going to Hawaii.
I will do the open upon my return.
Okay.
I got to compile the clips and just know which ones I'm going to be
using. The East St. Louis of the tropics is what they call.
Yeah.
How about that? Nice. How long are you there for?
We get there sometime Thursday. We fly back. I think we start flying back the following Saturday. So 9 nights.
Wow. That's the move, though.
What an arrogant display of wealth and power, too.
It's coming at a good time, too, after a bit of a busy period. Get to decompress for a week and a half. Not move.
Flat out old money over here.
Yeah.
Drink rum on the beach.
Holy cow. That's unbelievable. This is your what trip to Hawaii?
Third.
Third. I haven't been there any times. So I'm zero. How about you, Posse?
None. I know I would thoroughly enjoy myself, though. Yeah. That's my kind of place. A bunch of great food. No looking at your cell phone or no looking at the clock. Just relaxing, enjoying it. I would love it.
So, Brian, give us, in a word, the greatness of Hawaii, since this is your third trip.
Well, it's really nice. My mother-in-law grew up in Kailua for about 13 years or so.
Your mother-in-law?
Yes. Okay. Her dad had some role in the military. He wasn't a soldier, but he had some sort of role, maybe communications with the military. So he was stationed there until she was about 13. And so she knows kind of some of the nice little spots. I'll say this. The beach that we are a very short distance from, we're not beachside. There's like one row of houses in between us and the beach. Was recently,
what an inconvenience.
Yes, because I have to walk there. And in between, there's a coffee shop. So I wake up at 5. And I get to pick up coffee on the way to watching the sunrise. But
you wake up that early just to see the sunrise?
First couple days you do, just because of the time difference.
Yeah, that's cool.
But the beach itself, it's Kailua Beach Park. And there's that. And then about a mile or so, there's Lanikai Beach. And consistently, those two are voted among the best beaches in the world. They are pristine beaches.
Really?
And the water's a great temperature. It's a really big beach. It's long, so it never feels that crowded. You can always just walk down a little bit, find your own secluded spot. It is perfect. I love swimming in the ocean. I love lying on the beach. We buy some rum and some fruit juice. We make some nice little strong drinks. There's a place short walk from where we're staying called Buzz's that has very strong Mai Tais. Maui Brewing Company just opened up a restaurant in Kailua about a little under a mile from where we're staying. And we just found out there's late night happy hour there. So we'll be going there a couple times for nightcaps. It is just a beautiful. There are no resorts, so you got to do like an Airbnb or a VRBO. And I could not recommend it more. It is a gorgeous part of the country.
Very nice. How about this, Plowsy? At 11 o'clock, we have Brian Hawaii Hoffman and then Martin White Teeth Kilcoin.
And his back and his rear camera.
Yeah. Multiple sinks and his, luxury ensuite with his monthly teeth cleanings.
God. I don't even know these people.
I think he had backup cameras on his rims.
It's like what George said to Jerry when he found out how much that black leather, jacket. I can't even be friends with you anymore. How much did that jacket cost?
The pink on the inside? Yeah. Oh, I love that jacket.
We have Rish at 10:30. Should we send that interview to that Ed guy who gets really angry about how, I guess, Tom Stillman is bankrupted the city somehow?
That's right.
What was it,
Ed Golderman?
$4 billion?
it was an obscene amount of money for how many people have now gone downtown over the last month and a half.
All right. We had a good guest list. As Brian mentioned, Dr. Patrick Risch, Washington U, 10:30. The name of the article is Championships in Toronto and St. Louis Unify Communities While Generating Psychic and Actual Income. Brian McKenna is going to join us. one of our favorites, 10:45. Joey Vitale, 11:20. Dr. Rick Lehman at 11:40. I just got finished interviewing Scott Berry. He's the young man who won $100,000 on a $400 bet that he made on the Blues to win the Stanley Cup in early January in Vegas. He is flying to Vegas as we speak. So he had the ticket. It was in a nice little bag, very well protected. And he'll have the option to collect the money either in a check or in chips.
So he has to go back to Vegas. He just can't send and he's actually, I was wondering that. Okay.
A agency is actually paying for his flight, and they're doing a little bit of a kind of a story on the thing. So
I do believe he can just get chips and then go to the cashier and then get cash, I would assume.
I think I'd just probably take the check.
I would take the check.
Can't wire it? I wouldn't want to walk around with that check. I'd be terrified I'd lose it.
On the plane right there, I'd find the nearest bank to that casino that is mine, and I would be getting an Uber immediately there. Depositing it and being done. Having a good time, though. Is he staying there a couple days, I would assume?
I imagine. Darren Revell is actually involved in this somehow. He's not paying for it himself, but his organization, who he works for now. He doesn't work for ESPN. He does something else that's...
He works with the gambling website that I think is partnered with ESPN to a degree.
So they're going to really play this thing up, and it's not bad.
Darren's getting in a little bit of trouble, actually, with that website now.
Yes. What did he do wrong?
He got caught. Either he did it or someone with the website kind of went back and changed how much money was bet on certain picks to make it seem like he was making more money than he was. Because it's one of those subscription, hey, pay $5 a month and I'll give you my gambling tips. So he needs to show that he's making a return on his bets. So they're going back and it's saying like, oh, so say you pick the Blues. I think the over-under for Blues and Bruins is maybe 7 goals. So obviously the under hit. So let's just say you bet like $50 on that and the under hit. So then you go back. Actually, let's change it to $2,000 and now look how much more money I made. To a degree, that's what he's doing. It's not illegal, but it's just sketchy.
All right. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Make sure you're there on Saturday night. The NASCAR trucks in action. Two big races, national television. Let's begin with lap one. You know, I don't think there's any equation out there that has the Cardinals winning a division or even making the playoffs without a productive Miles Michaelis. When you have a guy who won 18 games the year before and who you just gave $68 million, and you have much of the rest of the staff crumbling around him, and you have an organization that doesn't seem interested in spending a lot more money on starting pitching this season, well, I mean, I think this guy has to come through. He has to. And last night, Miles Michaelis did just that.
And the 3-2, swing and a miss. Swing and a miss. And a strikeout, number 3, for Michaelis. 0-2 count on Garrett Cooper, and a swing and a miss. And strikeout number 4 for Miles Michaelis.
When I can pound the zone down and get those strikes early down and then, you know, go up by design as opposed to, you know, just kind of leaving them middle by accident, going to the very bottom and the very top, I think is what's effective.
So last night, 6 innings, 6 hits, but the big stat with Michaelis is 0 walks. When you see 1 or 0 after one of his outings in terms of base on balls, that's when you know he's pitching like we know he can. Lap 2. I also believe that this team is going to have a tough time winning unless Matt Carpenter becomes a productive offensive player. And last night, he was 3 hits, a single, a bunt double, and this moment.
And certainly. Carpenter with a high fly ball into deep right center. It's at the wall. Goodbye. Number 10, Carpenter. And it's 1-0 on the solo home run.
So the homers aren't bad, but this is a guy who's a career 271 hitter with a career 374 on base with a career 838 OPS. And now, at least heading into last night, was 218, 329, and 707. I mean, think about that. 838 OPS to 707. Is this the decline of a career, or is it just a bad 70 games? Last night was a good one. I know that a lot of people were thinking, and a lot of people said, did they really need to give him that $39 million contract extension? But you know what? He may go nuts for the rest of the season. Again, for them to be winning a division, for them to make the postseason, I think Matt Carpenter's production is going to have to look more like Chris Bryant's than his own the first chunk of the season. I mean, they can't trot out Rizzo and Bryant at first and third, and the Cardinals trot out Goldschmidt and a slumping Carpenter. And Goldschmidt hasn't been great either. All right, lap three. So Jay Bomeister is really a regular guy. I mean, real soft-spoken. Just he doesn't seem like he's a professional athlete. He's very unassuming, understated, underappreciated. He's also a 35-year-old man, husband, father. And for our younger audience, the older you get, the tougher it is to wake up after a hard night. In fact, young Plowsy is with us. How old are you, Darren?
I am 30.
Are you noticing a difference in your ability to feel okay after a hard night of drinking the older you get?
Yeah, I feel like it takes a lot less. Now, I don't know if that's just because I don't drink as much, but I even after four beers, I'll wake up, and it feels like I went through about four or five rounds in a UFC cage.
Really?
So it's...
So you're paying a price even at your young age.
Yes. And I mean, I'm somewhat active, you know. It's not like, you know, all I do is sit there and binge drink. So, yeah, when I do go out the next morning, I am in rough shape.
Oh, you play more golf than Greg Norman. What
that is true.
Absolutely.
Wish I had the bank account.
Now, to be honest, I haven't had too many of those hard nights. I can remember twice. Once after the ending of a grueling freshman season where we lost to Southwest Missouri State at UMSL, and then another time drinking free daiquiris at a bar my brother was very popular at. So I stay away. Two drinks, max, almost all the time. Anyway, a friend saw Bomeister yesterday and asked why he wasn't in Vegas. He laughed and said, "That's too long in Vegas. Nothing can happen. Nothing good can happen from out there that long." Jay Bomeister's a really smart guy. I don't know how many days in a row these guys can go at it that hard. Let's see, now, Brian, so Wednesday
night. They won the cup Wednesday night.
That's Wednesday night.
And they did a little drinking then.
Thursday night.
Yeah.
Friday night was the, that was the wheelhouse.
Yeah, Thursday was Hobie Clark's, so that was day and night.
Yeah, and then Saturday was the parade.
Day and night.
And then they get to Vegas on Sunday.
Day and night, and then day and night. It's going to be a week straight at least, right? Because the award show is Wednesday night. So at least a week straight of just going crazy.
Frank, yeah. You've been to Vegas. I've been to Vegas recently. And what I've noticed around the hotels and lobby areas are these stations to where you can get an IV to where it's, I'm not for sure what it is that they put in it, but it rehydrates, replenishes you that next morning. Said it takes about 30 minutes. Everybody I've talked to that had done it, It is a night and day difference. So I imagine the blue pair probably got that.
Now, I'm not familiar with this at all. This is really interesting. So could it be at the Bellagio, nice hotels and stuff?
Yeah, they're very, you know, looks like, you know, a pedicure place, a really nice, fancy place.
And it's strictly for hangovers to feel better.
I don't know what they pump
you with. It's a saline solution, because all a hangover is dehydration.
Yeah, it just hydrates you. They said within a half hour you feel like you haven't drank in 3 years.
Oh, my gosh.
A friend of mine who I won't name isn't...
Martin?
No. He's actually a close friend of mine. He's a firefighter and an EMT, so he has access to like saline bags that are expired, but still are still good. So like on my bachelor party last year, he brought a couple up, and just in case someone has a rough night or is having a bad morning, he was able to hook us up with a little saline to get us to rally.
Now, you know what person would know a lot about this when we have him on the radio later on today?
McKenna?
Dr. Rick.
Oh, Dr. Rick. I thought McKenna's a drinker. He might know a little bit about this, too.
He's Irish. He qualifies. All right, lap four. So we had Darren Pang on the radio yesterday. He had a variety of topics. And let's begin with the Pat Maroon future topic.
I mean, I would hope that because he did lowball himself and bet on himself to win, that, I mean, my hope is that he comes back at minimum on a one-year deal. I obviously wouldn't be speaking for Doug Armstrong because that's not fair. But, I mean, I think what a player does, what he meant to the team, I mean, personally, I just think it's the right thing to do. You know, I don't think it'll be about dollar figures for Pat Maroon. I think he'd like to enjoy the celebration being a St. Louis Blue and trying to do this all over again. So it'd be nice to see Pat Maroon back in a number 7 sweater.
Then we have the whole situation with Craig Berube, Darren.
Well, it was nice to see Joe Vitale on the stage, introduce him as the head coach, and I looked over at Doug Armstrong, who was beside me, and I said, well, looks like you're giving up a lot of dough to the coach. But you know what? That's the one thing about this game is when you do something this special, it lives forever. This group will walk forever in the same footsteps. And Craig Berube, he might have been the next MVP behind Ryan O'Reilly when it came down to the Conn Smythe Trophy. So it's nice to see him. And I know they'll work. So, I mean, obviously they'll get it. They'll get a deal done. The one thing about Doug is he's loyal. The one thing about Craig Berube, he's been loyal to this organization. And he would know that this is the right thing to do. The entire coaching staff did phenomenal jobs, and I'm really proud of them.
And speaking of Ryan O'Reilly, who's up for the Selke and the Lady Bing, among other Blues up for these national awards, does he have the best chance of being victorious in Vegas Wednesday?
Well, the voting already took place before the playoffs started. But, you know, I think based on the season that he had and the consistency that he had and the matchups, obviously the Selke's about the best defensive forward. He's a center iceman. He goes up against the other team's best centerman. He's matched up on D-zone faceoffs. He did it all. I think if he did not win that Selke award as the best defensive forward in the National Hockey League, I think it would be a crying shame. And I think I would say to the writers, I think you'd have to pay a little bit more attention in a season like this because he had the ultimate season.
All right, lap five. You know, when I was growing up, there was a saying, make your kid a catcher, he'll always find work. And then a little bit later was, make your kid a left-handed pitcher, great longevity. I got to tell you something. What you should do is make your kid an NBA player. Couldn't you make a case that right now, Ryan O'Reilly, this is a question for both of you here. Couldn't you make a case right now that Ryan O'Reilly is better at hockey than Chris Paul is at basketball?
Yes.
Yes, but Chris Paul skipped paid because of name brand recognition as well.
Yeah. So, one is the Conn Smythe, and he's coming off an incredible season where he played every game and his team won a championship. The other is 34 with another flame out in the playoffs and shooting 41% from the field and just 35 from three and now really complaining about James Harden. And there's a report yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, but he actually went to Mike D'Antoni and said, please keep Harden off the floor when I'm playing with the second team. I mean, I couldn't think of anybody I'd rather not play with than James Harden, even though he's a really good player. Talk about four guys just standing around. So that's not to disparage Chris Paul, but it's not a great situation. And yet O'Reilly makes $6 million a year in his winter professional sport. And Chris Paul, are you ready for this in his winter professional sport? He's going to make 38, 34, 41, and 44 million per year. I just don't know how the economics work in the NBA. I know Mike Claiborne explains it to me every 6 months. I still don't understand it. Here's one thought. Now that it's out that Paul doesn't want to play with James Harden, it's the biggest news going right now. And here's the thing. This is why the NBA, this is why you can pay these guys, is because the NBA grabs every headline almost every day. I mean, God bless it. I mean, we love the Blues, and that's all we've cared about for 63 days in the postseason. But the league, I mean, the country, all they care about is the NBA, whether it's on the court or off the court. But with that said, $40 million a year for an aging guard who's certainly declining. $40 million a year. And yet Ryan O'Reilly, in the absolute zenith of his career, makes $6 million a year. Good work if you can find it. All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. Cameron Fletcher from Vishon got an offer from North Carolina yesterday. Travis Ford is not letting up on the gas pedal, though. They are in this. They had a long conversation 2 days ago, and it's productive. Wouldn't it be great for a superstar from the city to go 5 minutes and just play for SLU, or go 2 hours and play for Mizzou, or 2.5 hours and play for Illinois? Let's keep the great ones here in our town. Okay, the video is out. A certain Blues player getting sick in the convertible and throwing up on the driver. Now, I'm not going to mention the player's name because he's a really nice young man and a really good player. But I want you to listen real closely. We may have to play this a few times. as the fans are anticipating it, because they must have gotten a good look at this player, and then listen closely to their reaction as soon as he does throw up. Let's play that just one more time. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the video, but if you zoom in tight, it's like Linda Blair in The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
How about the guy in front or the girl in front that had to take that? Oh, God. All right. One quick thought. Food Picks, Mike Shannon's Edwardsville yesterday. We had the championship filet. It's a filet mignon with polenta and roasted bacon jam. It was really insane. All right, those are my thoughts. Let's hear yours. The Blues and the Moves. Will Carpenter hit? Will Michaelis become a stud again? NBA money. It's fantastic. When we come back, we are going to be joined by Dr. Patrick Risch.